What's going on, sports fans, and welcome back to the newest installments of Insights from the Locker Room. I am your gracious host, Derek Bone Crusher Dennis, back in the building. And for the fans who know us and have been listening to us, yes, we went on a year hiatus. I'm sorry for that. Guys, you guys have been begging me to come back and give you content, so here I am. It's been a crazy 2020 for all of us. But like I was saying, for the fans returning and who've listened to us in the past, you'll realize that I'm short. My co-host Tyler Johnstone, aka The Moose, is not joining me anymore on Insights from the Locker, or at least for the current time being. Tyler has relocated from Phoenix, where we were living, where we started the podcast, and he's moved to Oregon with his lovely wife and son. So shout out to Tyler. We're gonna miss him. I love him. That's my boy. Show's probably not going to be the same without him, but we must go on. Yes. So welcome back, people. Yeah, like I stated before, we had a year hiatus. We ended the show last time going into the CFL season. So playing games was kind of hard. Me and Tyler were in two different cities. It's kind of hard to keep things going. And when you're playing football, if you're an athlete and you understand, playing football takes a lot out of you. So sometimes you don't have the energy to come and talk your mess on a microphone. But we're back. Could have started up a little earlier. Like I said, 2020 has been a rough year for all of us. It's been a rough year for myself. I'm currently not employed anymore by the CFL, or at least I'm not on a CFL team at the current moment. 2020 didn't go as I planned. You know, then free agency didn't pan out for me the way it is. I ended up this year playing in the XFL with the New York Guardians for about 3 weeks before COVID-19 claimed the XFL in all its glory and fun that it was doing during the springtime. It was a great product. I loved it. I enjoyed playing there, even though I was there for a short time. It was some good players. Watching on TV was pretty fun, at least for me as a fan before I joined the league. And I think a lot of people enjoyed it. I think the XFL had a bright future. Unfortunately, what COVID-19, aka the coronavirus, was doing to a lot of things in 2020, just couldn't go. Man, sports world actually came to a halt. And we don't really have anything right now. We don't have NBA. We don't have NHL. We don't have baseball. I was hoping to catch Yankees opening day because I was back home in New York and I haven't been to New Yankee Stadium yet. And I was so excited. I thought I was going to catch opening day. And COVID-19 struck. So, yeah, 2020 has been a crazy year for all of us, especially us in the sports world. It's pretty much brought our lives to a halt. And we don't really know what the future holds for us. It may be a while before we can get back up and running. And that's a hard pill to swallow, but that is the circumstances as such. So with that, leading into that, I'm probably going to talk a little bit about, you know, the effects of that on the CFL and what we think is going to happen with a truncated season, playing 8 games or not. I'm going to give my opinions on that. Also on this episode, we're going to get a visit from defensive end Charleston Hughes in the CFL of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who four-time, you know, sack leader. He led this last two seasons in the CFL in sacks. Pretty good defensive player. Me and Charleston played together with the Calgary Stampeders, so we built a very good relationship, good rapport. So I'm going to get Charleston to come on this episode and hang out with me and talk a little smack and talk different things and different topics that are going on. And then probably close the show out with a little bit of my. All right, so here we go. Let's get into it. Here's my thoughts on the truncated season. That's probably going to happen in the CFL. Big news was, you know, the CFL going to the federal government and asking for federal assistance in a monetary sense to help the CFL survive. Painted a picture of a league who were in dire straits due to COVID-19 already in the beginning of the year. And if things were to get worse, or if, you know, health advisories and government regulations did not get better, risked losing a season and risked losing money and risked the future of the league still being alive and staying functioning. So here's my thoughts on that. Yeah, I'm not believing most of it. Here's where I'm coming from. The CFL has very wealthy owners. We know a lot of the owners of those teams. They own a lot of profitable teams in the major leagues, the NHL, the NBA, those leagues who make billions of dollars a year, if not super high millions. I just think a lot of the ask, in a sense, from the commissioner and the league is more of a kind of offset funds. I think that's probably why the players weren't a part of it at first, because they weren't really thinking about the players. It was more of a sense of we see that the government's handing out money to corporations to stay afloat, or handing out corporations to offset losses due to COVID-19 and closing stuff. So let's see if we can get in and get some of that money. I don't think the CFL is in trouble of collapsing, even though they tried to paint that picture. I really don't think so. Everyone knows the CFL never was a highly profitable organization, but still a profitable one, outside of maybe, three teams. And that's just because, they're just not engaging. I think a part of the reason why CFL is falling off and fan engagement is not as high as it's been in the past is they're just not marketing the league correctly. They're not getting it out there. They're not doing everything possible available to make people want to come and watch the CFL. I think they've always relied on their old business model, as has been stated in the past. They've relied on the old business model and they kind of just went with it. Trying to make it seem like owners are, funding the league or part of the league because they just enjoy the game and it's not a business venture. I really don't believe that in that aspect. From my understanding, everything in the world is business at the end of the day. Almighty dollar talks. So to think that it's not about money, I think it is about money, but more in a sense of just trying to offset some of those losses, trying to put some money in the pocket that they probably wouldn't normally get. I don't think it was anything else other than that. Do I think the CFL is at risk of not playing a season this year? Yeah, I do think so. I think with the government regulations and all that stuff going on, that there's a possibility that there may not be any football in Canada. Do I think it's detrimental to the league? I don't think it's detrimental. I think if you got to scrap a season and get ready for 2021, that's just the circumstances of what's going on right now. Other leagues may not have to do that because they have the money. NBA is going to have the money to lock dudes in a hotel and transport them and pay for testing and all that good stuff. NHL has the money to do it. NFL has the money to do it. NFL makes billions of dollars every season. So they have the money to do it and go out and make sure that a season happens. They're going to make sure that the season happens, but they have the bankroll to do it. They don't have to worry about it. CFL is not in that boat, and we all know that. We get that. But to say that they don't have funds to possibly do it, it's tough. I think the government assistance probably would have went towards that, them funding a way to have a season. I don't think it was about, paying players or any of that sense. I think it was just more about making sure they had money in the bank to function and actually have a season. So if they don't get the government funding, then it's going to be very hard-pressed for owners to want to spend money that they know they probably won't get back for another 5-10 years. That's the reality of it. So, do I hope there's a CFL season? Yes, I do. Even though I'm not employed by a team, no one signed me, I do hope there's a season. Not just for me, but for my brothers, man. All the guys that I played with, worked with, played against, man. Just because, the battle, the competitiveness that goes on the field happens. It doesn't mean that I wish bad on anyone. I do not wish bad on anyone. I hope football's played. I hope guys get a chance to get some money. I hope guys get a chance to get a job, whether it's for me or not. I mean, that's my own personal thing. I'm not worried about that. But I do want to see the CFL play a season. I do want to see guys get a chance to play football because I know how important it is to a lot of guys. Important to me myself. But it's not the end of the world. So, an 8-game season actually is pretty exciting to me, to be honest. I think a shortened season, not 18 games. 18 games is really hard to play with 3 bye weeks and stretched out season, and it's tough. It's tough on the body, don't get me wrong. But I do want to see a short season. I think a short season will be much more competitive, especially if you play everybody one time and you're, thinking about it. Basically makes every game a playoff game, in my humble opinion. Every game counts. You can't afford to lose, and you got to, stay ahead of the curve. And especially if you're only playing everybody once and you haven't played them, preseason. You may miss out preseason games. You're not going to have camp time. This season is going to be, you know, very important. I think the team that comes out on top, if there is a shortened season and they figure out a way to get it done, the team that's going to come out on top is the team that probably has the most veteran savvy team who knows how to come in and compete and be ready to play. If you're a team relying on a bunch of rookies, you might be in trouble. If you're a team that has a nice mixture of veterans, hopefully you got the right guys in the locker room that can lead and get guys up to speed quickly and playing. And if you got a team full of veterans, you're probably ahead of the curve right now. So I think a short season will be exciting. I think a short season would be electric. And I think a short season will make for football that a lot of people will remember for a long time. Outside of the COVID-19 and stuff, I think sports do need to come back. Sports has kind of always been that underlying or you know thing in society that's always kind of taken away from what's going on in the real world and what's going on in people's communities and backyards and stuff like that. That's my little spill rant on the CFL and having a truncated season and how things would go and how I feel, and we'll move on from there. On the next segment, we will be visited by CFL defensive end Charleston Hughes. He's going to come on the show and talk that talk with me. So yeah, stay tuned.
Mama, there goes that man. Like
8-time West Division All-Star, 6-time CFL All-Star, 4-time CFL sack leader, Saginaw, Michigan native Charleston Hughes, or better known as Twitter as, how you say that? Saskatchewan? Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Aha. Charleston Hughes is in the building. What's going on, my guy?
Man, just chilling right now. I'm good.
What you got going on right now? Where are you currently located?
I'm in Saskatchewan, Regina, living the dream.
Oh, so you stay in SAS during the off season?
Yeah, I stay in SAS during the off season. I'm here, you know, just working, living.
I was doing a little background story. I know we've been teammates. We spent three seasons as teammates.
I think it was. It was only two. Yeah, the third year you went to SAS.
Technically, because I didn't come until late 2015. But just doing a little backdrop. So you've been in the CFL since 2008, right?
Yeah, 2008. Yeah.
All right. So reading a little bit of your backstory, I know about you getting cut. What I didn't realize was that you tried to play arena ball and got cut too.
Yeah, man, I got cut from the CFL, you know, my rookie season. And before I even got to the CFL, I tried to play Arena One, and then I went to Arena One tryout, and at the Arena One tryout, the guys, all the scouts, the head coach, everybody came up to me and said, look, man, we're going to be honest with you. You are the best football player here, but you're too small to play defensive line in arena football, so this might not be the game for you.
Oh, no way Arena had the nerve to do that to you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Grand Rapids Rampage.
I know that team too, actually. I think they actually, the guy who was the coach of that actually hit me up on Twitter after I got cut, I think like the fourth time from the NFL. Like, oh, come out and play with us in Grand Rapids. And I was like, I don't even know where the hell that's at.
And Grand Rapids is a cool city, too. But it was just the fact that they told me I was too small.
Is that in Michigan?
Yeah, it's in Michigan. Yeah.
Oh, so you're from Saginaw, right?
Yep. Saginaw, Michigan.
Saginaw is like right outside Detroit, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, like an hour 15 north.
I guess you can call it the suburbs of Detroit in a sense. But
apparently
for people who are from Saginaw is the furthest thing from the suburbs from what I hear.
Yeah, it's like Flint, Saginaw, Flint. We all in the same little neck of the woods.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I saw Saginaw High School, which is your alum of. I saw the list of top five people that played at Saginaw High. And it was a pretty impressive list. And your name was on it. But also, Apparently, you played with Lamar Woodley in high school.
He was a beast, though. He's a big dude.
when I read his stats, though, you and Lamar Woodley are not too far off in size. He was maybe, what, like 20, 30 pounds bigger than you, maybe an inch taller?
Yeah, he was about 6'3", 6'4". But you got to think, he was 250 in high school. So he was a big dude.
Yeah, that's big.
At 6'3", 250.
Yeah, I already played O-line in high school.
O-line and linebacker, yeah. Outside linebacker, who gonna stop him?
What an O-lineman play outside linebacker? That's crazy.
He's athletic enough to do it.
I mean, I never played high school football, to be honest. I only played like 1 year of high school football, so I don't really know much about high school football, how that worked. But
I don't either. I sucked in high school. I was a terrible football player.
Well, they made it seem like you was pretty good. You played what, fullback and linebacker?
Fullback and D-tackle.
D-tackle.
At 180 pounds.
Yeah, that's I guess that is a little bit of a violation.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. I was terrible.
You're wrestling in track though, right?
Yeah, and I kind of made my name in other sports, like track and wrestling is where I kind of had – that's what I was good at. I was better at those two sports than I was at football.
Well, I can tell you was a good wrestler because that's how you pass rush on the field. You pass rush like you wrestling.
it's all about leverage, man, leverage.
It's crazy because, I mean, the other day you was on Twitter and you was, you know, trying to give out some pass rush knowledge, which is, you know, kudos to you for that because a lot of vet guys be scared to give away trade secrets, especially, you know, maybe for younger guys who may see it that they play with and stuff like that. I mean, you about what, 14 years strong in the CFL?
Yeah, 13.
Yeah, about to be what, 37, 38 years old?
Ooh, I don't want to talk about that.
Yo, but nah, to be honest with you, bro, it is very impressive, man. Kudos to you. I always tell people when they ask me, they're like, yo, who the best pass rusher you played against in the CFL? And hands down, I mean, I know Lemon ain't going to want to hear it. I know other dudes ain't going to want to hear it, but you are hands down the best D lineman in the league.
In terms of this. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll be, you know me, I don't got a problem with keeping it funky. Like, I ain't never going to lie. I ain't never going to pump fake. And, you know, even though I am a little salty about how they tried to hype up, you know, that first matchup you and me had, I'm still a little salty at you, too. You was talking crazy at halftime. I didn't know you was talking that reckless.
I was in my zone. When I was getting that zone, there ain't no coming out of it.
You was getting sacks on running backs, bro. You talking about sacks just racking up on these tackles. Like, yo, you was in your bag.
Yeah, yeah. Once I get into that. Like, even when I was watching, like, the Last Dance, and you see how Michael Jordan talked, and then I kind of relate that to my game where I'm like, man, when somebody get me in my zone or get me in my mode, it ain't no coming out of it.
Like, That's the truth, though, because you are – it's funny because I tell people, I'm like, yo, Charleston might be one of the craziest trash talkers. But you only talk trash when you're in the zone. Like, if you're not in the zone or you're not feeling it, you don't really say much on the field. And I'm like, don't let him – the only way to play Charleston is don't let him get going. Because when he get going, that's when he going to start talking to you crazy. And then it's going to throw you out your game. And then he going to get exactly what he want. All he need is one or two sacks. He done had a crazy game. You know what I'm saying? That's how you be racking them up on them early. I could tell, especially when you be playing against them Canadian linemen.
Hey, they got hands too.
No, they do. They do. I know it. Let me not do that because I don't want people to think that I'm being salty. Maybe because, you know what I'm saying, right now I am unemployed. Ain't nobody calling my phone. But nah, I'm just. This is insights from the locker room. This is really, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to give the divulge too much, but I'm going to give you – I got to give you people a little sneak peek of how we like to talk and speak in the locker room. Everybody watch the same film. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, we all know what it is. Back to what I was saying. Yeah, when you was on Twitter talking, you know, trying to give out free game, I realized, you know what I'm saying, after – first game we played and just kind of going back and watching the film, just watching how you pass rush What I do give you kudos for is you might be one of the smartest D linemen out there. I think people don't realize how smart of a player you actually are, because your rushes are not just like, you're not out there just like, all right, I'm gonna hit my moves until they hit. You are actually like, you know what I'm saying? You pay attention to running backs releasing your side for chips. You pay attention to, you know what I'm saying, how line slides. You pay attention to set. Like, you actually are a very smart football
player. No, I try to process. Credit for how smart even like I was releasing all, I openly released everything on Twitter when I talked to, when people were asking me questions. I openly released everything of where my eyes at, what I'm looking at. I kind of go through this with every defensive end that I play opposite side of. And they always have success after they play, you know, opposite side of me, is because I try to shift these guys a certain way and put people in position and, you know, just try to help them see the field differently, because you got to be able to process plays in the least amount of time possible. When you can process a play before the ball is even snapped or before the quarterback goes into his cadence, then you're a step ahead of the game.
Oh, so hold on, backtrack. So you trying to tell me every DN that ever played opposite of you?
I'm telling you that every defensive end that's played opposite side of me either went to the NFL or they got paid.
So you telling me you're the godfather?
I like to view myself as that.
I love it. So I'm not going. I don't want to bog too much down with the back talk, because this is insights from the locker room. And what I'm trying to do this season on the podcast is I'm trying to get players who come on here. I want a little bit of truth about how they feel about the game, guys that they play against, that in that sort of sense. So what I'm going to ask you right now, and I need an honest answer: of all your years in the CFL, what tackle that you knew every time you played him, it was barbecue chicken alert. You knew you was going to eat.
Right now? And it's barbecue chicken?
I need it. Listen. You're going to be the first guest on my podcast this year. And I need you to set the tone, bro, because you are one of the few guys I know that could talk that talk and back it up. So I need to know, who is barbecue chicken alert for you every time you see them on the schedule?
100% every time I line up, and I know it's Popeye's chicken. I'm about to eat real good. I'm about to get that extra spicy, extra crispy. I want red beans and rice with it. It's Campbell from Toronto.
Oh, Bruce. Oh,
it
oh,
don't matter which Campbell, it's two of them.
I don't think. I love the energy. That's what I need, baby. I love it. Yo, that's funny, because I did see Toronto they re-signed the right tackle.
He's American. I think he's American. Oh, King. It was
No. I think
it was both Campbells, and then it was another guy named King, I think. And Randy. Randy was like the swing guy.
Oh, Randy barbecue chicken. So you basically say every time you see the R,
I'm going off. You're
going off 2-3 sacks a minute. Oh, I love it. So let me ask you this. I know the big topic of the news is the CFL having a season, and pretty much it's going to be a shortened season. How do you feel about, you know, possibly having to play an 8-game season and you know, now that everything is going to be, you know, winner, host the Grey Cup, all that stuff. How you feel about that right now?
I'd rather play football rather than not play football. So 8 games, you know, it's cool and all. I just look at it as it's kind of going to be open opportunity, but it's not going to be open opportunity, because for the simple fact that for me, it's going to be lovely, because I'm going to lead the league in sacks again, especially because how I come out the gate on teams anyways, right? So I come out in 8 games and put up 12 sacks like it's nothing.
So in an 8-game season, you're going to see everybody once. It's going to be like a playoff game. You think
100%.
You could get double-digit sacks in 8 games? So if you had to put a number on it,
I would say I put 12. At least 12.
That's realistic. So that means you're gonna get at least one and a half sacks a game.
Yeah, it's about maybe it's
two.
About
no, actually more. Two sacks.
One and a half, 1.2, something like that.
Between one yeah. sacks a game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about your roster now? I know you guys lost Micah Johnson to BC. You got my man A Boogie back. Ace Leonard, AC Leonard. I like AC. AC to me, AC is a really good defensive end. I don't think he gets enough credit he deserves because he might be the most
hands down. He's the most athletic defensive end in the league. Between him and Willie, you know, Willie crazy athletic too.
Yeah, Willie is athletic. I don't get me wrong, but I mean a 6'7" defensive end. I mean Willie's powerful playing football.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I love Willie. That's my guy. I love Willie. But my opinions of defensive ends and who's good, who's not good, that's a totally different thing. Save that for another day. But I like your D-line. I feel like maybe for y'all, the weak points might be in the middle. You know what I'm saying? But I know y'all got Mac, my man.
Oh,
Mac
yeah. Henry. You know, he running through trucks.
I see you and Mac was working out for a little bit.
Yeah, together, man. I'm trying to, like I said, I try to, like, drop knowledge, try to help him move a little different, be a little bit more mobile and limber, I guess you could say. So try to work on his mobility a little bit better.
Right.
And he's never trained like that before. So I'm trying to put him into a position where I can get him to train a little different and just be able to pass rush a little different.
Right. That's good. So are you feeling, I mean, I know you guys resigned most of your defense. I know Sash is supposed to host the Grey Cup this year, but I mean, if you had to predict how your team will end up, you know what I'm saying? How do you, are you feeling good about playing an 8-game season?
I think with the we're roster good, man. Right you now? Know, we're just as stacked as any other team. I know Hamilton. I don't know how they got all that money, but they sure did sign a lot of different people and signed the whole entire team back. So they got some cash stashed away somewhere.
I mean, from publicly known knowledge, a lot of those deals look real friendly. But they do got a lot of quality players in Hamilton. Free. Hold on, maybe they need to call
They need it. I don't even know who over there because they lost the Canadian Matthews.
He actually goes crazy. He's not Canadian. He's American.
I'm wrong for that. He was French.
Time out.
French toast.
You thought that man was Canadian? barbecue chicken alert! Really? So you think BC online? Yeah,
Mike Riley boy, he
food.
In trouble.
Oh, that's what I want to hear. Yo, Charleston. I love you, bro. I love the energy you bring tonight. I needed you to set the tone, and that is what you're doing for me. I love it. Man, so last question, and this is probably going to be on a little more serious note. I know you know what's going on right now, what's going on down in the States, back home, and all that stuff. What's your feelings about everything right now? You know, how are you feeling personally? What is your whole mindset right now? What's going on? I mean, I know you're in Canada, so you're not going to feel the brunt of everything because you're not around, but you got family here. You got people here. So,
I mean, it's crazy how everything going down in the States right now, especially with the amount of racism that's still going on there. Like, it's always been there, but because of technology now, it's being publicized and it's being shown and it's being recorded. And it's being put out there and it's being displayed, right? So when you really think about people and just human people in general, and people are kind of surprised about it, and it's like there's nothing to be surprised about. It's always been like that. So, you know, you got to move a certain way. You got to walk a certain way. You got to be able to protect yourself in you know, certain instances. I mean, I hear it from my mom all the time back when I was young, when the police come at you, you got to act accordingly. You got to act correct. Like, I've had officers before reach for their pistol on me before. And I'm looking like, whoa, like, relax, calm down. Like, I'm not a threat. I'm not a threat. Why are you grabbing your pistol? Why are you grabbing your hip? And I'm like, relax. And then, but it's just the simple fact that officers are scared slash I think the judgment, their judgment is becoming an issue. And I don't know if they're taking sensitivity training or if they're taking anything like this, but I think it's needed for police officers to take some kind of course where they can have some better sensitivity training. Because if all this kind of stuff is happening, you know, on a constant basis and Black people are dying and for no apparent reason, just by putting a knee on somebody's neck. Now, for something like that to happen, that's instantly telling me that this person's thought process through this whole scenario wasn't correct. Like something's broken, something's wrong.
Right.
So obviously he has no type of awareness of what's too much and what's not enough. And when you have a partner like that with you, like this Asian guy who was his partner, I mean, your partner should be your second in command and say, yo, you need to chill a little bit. Let him go. Speak up. And none of that stuff is really happening right now. I mean, people are angry as hell, burning cities down. You know, I'm cool with all the protests and stuff. And, you know, I'll protest like the next man and stand for your rights. But I'm also a big stickler on you have to represent yourself accordingly. And not act a damn fool is basically what I'm saying. So you can't just be running around like mad, pissed off, breaking windows, burning buildings down, you know, looting homes, looting businesses, local businesses that are already struggling from this COVID stuff. So now you're bringing people down with you on top of somebody just died. But they didn't die for the purpose of people to cause more violence and more mayhem. He died for a purpose of, okay, we have to make this well known and it has to be seen amongst all Americans and to know that this ain't okay.
Right, right. So if you, what do you think like maybe would be, you know, the way about going about, you know, maybe getting that change and how people should be reacting outside of the rioting. And
I mean, the only way to get change or the only way to move forward or move past this is to kind of figure out what are we trying to gain? Like, what purpose are you trying to gain from protesting? The purpose are we trying to gain from protesting is to raise awareness for officers that are, you know, not ethical, I guess you could say. I'll say so for officers that are ethical,
right?
You want to raise awareness against them, okay? How do you pinpoint unethical or officers with bad judgment? The only way to approach the situation is to increase they're not paid, like, officers aren't paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, they're only paid maybe 50 grand to about 190 or 50 grand to 90 grand. So it's not like they're highly paid people.
Yeah.
So they're putting their life on the line to protect the society and citizens. So, I mean, the only way to do it is to put guys through training, through programs to help police officers be more awareness of situation.
Couldn't have said it better myself, brother. Charleston Hughes, defensive end of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. My brother, appreciate you taking a little bit of time to come on here and talk to me. Much love to you. Hopefully, you know, things work out and there's some football played. Hope you're staying safe during the COVID.
Yeah, man.
I love you, man. Appreciate you, brother. Always wish you the best. Hopefully, they let me come lock you up for a couple games this season. If not, then, you know what I'm saying?
Don't worry. I'm going to open a space up somewhere for you.
Hey, you know what? You know what? Like I said, I don't want to sound like the unemployed dude always hating, but I'm hard-pressed to figure out that there's, what, it's nine teams, two tackles. It's 18 tackles that's better than me that's playing right now. Might be one guy that probably, you know, one or two guys that might be as nice as me. And I give it to Servey and Stanley. Those only two dudes I ever give my respect to. Everybody else?
Big Tony.
Tony Watt? Listen, Tony Watt? Listen, I was going to end it. I didn't want to get too crazy. I love T-Watt.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude. And I know he likes to talk. I know he likes to talk like he's top notch. But yeah, you go against Tony. Be real. We all know the type of player Tony is. If Tony don't hit you with that one juggernaut punch,
I just seen him break some chest cavities though with that punch though.
Yeah, but when he missed, what he looked like when he missed though?
Like, oh, you get.
You could actually, your boy AC caught with that dip and it was over. Hey man, listen. Listen, T. Wash is good. Don't get me wrong, he's good. Is he great? I don't know. I mean, I'm waiting for him. He was in the East last year and didn't get All Star. Nah, they gave it to Riker Matthews.
Oh man, I don't know why they did that.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's because, you know what I'm saying, Hamilton. You gotta remember though with the awards and stuff, because. I mean, I'm getting long-winded again, but you got robbed of a defensive player of the year at least once or twice, and you know how it is, man. The awards pickings and all that, it's more political than anything. They give it to the dudes. A lot of writers don't watch all the games; they just look at who got the best record, who's leading the stats, who's on the roster. They ask their buddies in their town, like, "Oh, who you think is the best dude?" They say,
"Yeah, that's crazy." That's crazy how it worked like that. It's supposed to go. All the awards are supposed to go to the best player in that season. I wasn't even mad about me because I was like, he did some crazy stuff this year with all those damn knockdowns. I was more.
Yeah, but what about 14 when you had 18?
Yeah, but still, the other Chip Cox had a crazy year. He had 110 tackles, 11 sacks, 12 sacks, and nine picks.
I didn't see Chip stats. All I know is that, you know what I'm saying, you had 18 sacks in 16 games, and that's
like,
pretty impressive.
I felt like I probably had a chance to win it then, but I can see that, okay, yeah, he had a crazy year as a Sam linebacker to have all those stats and all the way across the board like that. I was like, you know, I can envision that loss. Right. So I was like, all right, that's cool. But even somebody like Frank Beltre, who led the league in special team tackles, and you don't win special teams player of the year?
Teams player of the year, right. Well, they always give the special team player of the year to the guy who returned the touchdowns. They don't give it to the dude, but
this year they did.
Who'd they give it to? Oh, yeah, they did. Well, that's only because they was going to give it to somebody. Wasn't they going to give it to somebody else? Then, I don't know.
Buddy from Winnipeg won it, right? Yeah.
Matt Miller.
What'd he do this year?
You're right. You're right. And all he do is play special teams.
He didn't lead the league in special team tackles. They gave it to him because he broke the career tackling record.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's Canadian. So they gave it to a guy who over his career broke a record. Come on now, that's ridiculous.
He's Canadian, though. Listen. Everybody loves to tell us what the CFL stands for. That's all I'm saying. But again, you're not gonna get too crazy. All right. But yo, Charleston, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on, man. We're gonna have to try to get you to come back on here later on down the line when things is probably a little better or going on. We're gonna try to get you back on here and talk some more. Actually, I want to do a little D-line powwow. I'll get you Lemon. Maybe Willie on here, and let y'all boys, you know what I'm saying, duke it out. Because we all know Lemon like to talk spicy. I don't know if Willie really talk too spicy, but I know Lemon talk spicy. Because he had
Oh, you know, Lemon records, spicy. Man. I done seen him get beat up by Tony, too.
Don't let him hear that. He was going at Tony not too long ago on Twitter. Him and Tony was getting into it. He was calling Tony barbecue chicken. Yeah, but I appreciate you again. Charleston Hughes, defensive end, Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Make sure y'all go follow my boy. You doing some yard work now, you know what I'm saying, to pass the time until football come back. So make sure y'all go get, you know what I'm saying, go hit my man up, do some yard work for you, lay some bricks, lay some sod or whatever it is he be out there doing in Regina. Holla at my boy. Appreciate you, bro. All the best, man. Stay safe, man. I'm going to holla at you.
Again, that was Saskatchewan Rough Rider defensive end Charleston Hughes joining me. Appreciate CH taking some time out to come on here and talk that talk with me. Give you guys some previews of that real locker room talk that we like to do when we're kicking it after a nice hard days of practice. So now, to close the show, I'm kind of going to close it with statements in regards to the last question that I asked Charleston, but I'm just going to give it from my perspective. The world that we're living in right now is going through some crazy times, and it's very rough right now, especially being a black American. And I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, drop a little knowledge. I'm glad I got a chance to ask Charleston about it, him give you a little bit of a spiel about it, and it's kind of similar to what I'm feeling, but I just wanted to give my point of view because I didn't really address it in the interview. But for me, what's going on right now is it's rough, man, because I'm from New York City. I've been through the turmoil. I've been through the struggle. I've dealt with police, and there were times where I've gotten to altercations with the police, and I thought I may not make it out. Especially, you know, a guy my size, they see a black dude who's, you know, 6'5", big, and they just, you know, they get scared. And there's been times where, you know, I've been pulled over and a cop walk up to the window with his hand on the gun, or, you know, been in situations where I've been handcuffed and by, you know, 5, 6, 7 cops trying to hold me down thinking I'm gonna go crazy. And again, shout out to my parents. My parents did a wonderful job of, you know, giving me the blueprint on how to survive, man. And I took heed to it, man. I exercised those things, man. I knew when to just relax and shut up and just let the cops not feel threatened. Just, you know, just try to find ways to survive, in a sense. And it's messed up that, you know, for people like me, we got to live in a world like that. But it's just the reality of the situation. I'm not going to be one of those people that just sit here and say, you know what, just find a way to survive and just go about your day, because clearly it's not working for us. They're looking for reasons to take us out. They're looking for reasons to do whatever they want to us. And it's hard, man, to watch your brothers, man. And I say brothers because this is my people, man. I've seen police brutality on friends, family members, you know, but myself, parents. Like, it's hard to watch, man. And it's like a rerun of a movie, man. You know, you like watching it, but after a while, you just like, man, I need something else. Like, something else got to be done. Something got to be different. But that's just the reality of what it is right now. I don't condone what's going on with the rioting and the looting and all that stuff, but I understand it, sympathize with it. I feel the pain of the people having to go through it. Again, also, I think some of that is some type of hidden agenda going on. I don't think people are out there trying to burn stuff down and go crazy to make a point. I don't think that's really the point that anybody wants to make. And I think that's a narrative that's getting skewed, getting put out there. That's just skewing what the directive is that's trying to be accomplished. There are a lot of very highly educated black people in this world, and a lot of people who are out there in the streets trying to show solidarity and unity to bring, you know, an issue that's been swept under the rug for centuries to the forefront, to want to be fixed. Myself, my generation before me, probably generation after me, we're not going to see the changes that's going to come, but we need to start laying the groundwork for people to figure out a way to start making change. Who knows when that change will happen? Could be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years from now. Who knows? But it's important right now to start laying groundwork. I think that's the main goal, objective that needs to be accomplished. So if we find ways to be productive and lay groundwork, I think it's the duty of everyone, not just black people, but everyone, to go out there and try to get that accomplished. Yeah, so that's just my little spiel real quick. I'm going to end the show on that tip. Appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everybody tuning in. If you've been a fan before, welcome back. If you're a new fan, welcome. I hope I can give you guys something to want to listen to on a weekly basis. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Charleston. Appreciate my brother coming on again. Shout out to my man Brent Stevens, aka Lemon Spread on Twitter. He is responsible for helping me giving me some motivation to get this back up and running. He gifted me this Yeti that I'm using to record this episode, so I would be remiss not to give my boy a shout out. Appreciate the microphone. I'm finally putting it to good use. Any tips, knowledge, and anything anybody in the media world wants to throw my way so I can keep making these episodes better and better and better, please do not hesitate to hit me up. I'm going to try to get all walks of life of people, not just sports guys, but people who are surrounded by sports or whatever, to come on this podcast. This is an extension of myself and a way for me to kind of, you know, share my other talents with you outside of being able to play the game of football. So, once again, thank you for tuning in. I love you guys. Peace. See you next week. And in the great words of my man.
I'm out.